First Corinthians chapter number 15. You know, this is what we call the Resurrection Sunday, or Easter, as some call it. We're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the grave, victory over sin and death and hell. And, you know, when you do it every year, there's not a whole lot you can say. I've been doing this now for the last 18 years. And how do you, you know, get the gospel message out again about the resurrection? Well, you say the same thing, just say it in a different way. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to be in verse number 1. Reading the account from Paul's perspective in the book to the Corinthian Christians there in Corinth in Greece. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And we're going to start reading in verse number 1. I want you to read down with me verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is what we're talking about today. And so read with me starting in verse number 1. Everybody that is there, say amen.
Amen.
Anybody needs a few more moments to get to 1 Corinthians, say, oh me. Oh me, oh my. All right, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Read with me together here starting in verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That, my friend, is what we call the gospel. Notice in verse number 1, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. What does gospel mean? It means good news. What's the good news? The good news is Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. That's the good news. Amen. By the way, that's the greatest news. Amen. We no longer have to be in our sins, nor is there any more sacrifice for our sins. Jesus Christ paid the one-time penalty for all eternity and to the glory of God. Today is when we as Christians recognize the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Resurrection is one of the greatest phenomena of all time. And it affects everyone. There's not a man, woman, boy, or girl that the gospel of Jesus Christ does not affect. Many great and fascinating phenomena of the world, but most don't affect us for eternity like the resurrection does. We'll discuss a few phenomena this morning and then focus in on the greatest phenomena, and that is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll discuss the resurrection today, the greatest phenomena of all time. Father, speak to us now as we look at some great phenomena that have occurred in our world. But Lord, then as we compare the greatest phenomena, there is no comparison. There's nothing like the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, people have been raised from the dead before, but none claim they were God in the death and the burial and the resurrection. None has raised themselves from the grave. And so, Lord, as we look at this great truth on this Resurrection Sunday, the day we call Easter, or the raising from the dead of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, open our minds, open our hearts, and Lord, help us to understand the reality, and Lord, and the gravity that is behind the resurrection. If Christ be not risen, then we are still in our sins, and it's vain. But Lord, because he is risen, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Thank you so much for being a risen Savior. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying and being buried and rising the third day. And Lord, help us to understand that truth, employ it in our lives, and live it that others can see the risen Savior living in and through us. Bless now, Lord, this sermon. And the Lord, give me what I'll need today by the Holy Spirit's unction. Take the words and impress them upon the heart of men, women, boys, and girls. They may make a decision for Jesus Christ today. more than what they need to do for him. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson has our special.
A symbol that's been used so frequently. Many blaspheme and despise, though its ancient it abides. A shrine to death, this is for life to me. There was a cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Two pieces of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through his feet, he took the nails for you and me. Angels watched as he died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross. You see why this old emblem is so dear to me. It stood for suffering, yet it brought us peace. It bridged the gap of man, offer cleansing for our sin, an icon that reminds us that we're free. There was a cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Two pieces of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through his feet, he took the nails for you and me. Angels watched as he died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross. God forbid that I should ever let my memory fade, but forever keep the cross in view, for that's why I was saved. I was saved. There was a cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Two pieces of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through his feet, he took the nails for you and me. Angels watched as he died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross. The cross. Though he could have walked away, chose the cross. He chose the cross.
Thank you, Mrs. Dawson. Amen. Though Jesus could have walked away, he chose the cross. Amen. And praise God for the cross of Calvary, instrument of cruelty, instrument of death, but death was necessary for the sins that we had. Amen. What a blessing it is. Well, today we're looking at the resurrection, the greatest phenomena of all time. Amen. By the way, many phenomena are nice to see, nice to read about, nice to know about, and some are absolutely overwhelming. However, they don't impact our lives for eternity like the phenomena of the resurrection. You think about some great phenomena that are out there today. Many of them don't affect you personally. And if you never saw it, it wouldn't matter to you at all. Amen. There are so many that are out there that don't affect us, but this one phenomena affects all mankind. I'm not on. You're right. I'm not. I am now. Can you hear me now? I should get on TV. Amen. All right. So phenomena, talking about the greatest phenomena of all time, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me give you the definition of phenomena, first of all. Before we go on, so you know what we're talking about. Phenomena is this. It's a fact or a situation that is observed to exist or happen. Okay? Especially one whose cause or explanation is in question. Read that again. The definition of phenomena. It is a fact or situation that is observed to exist or happen, especially one whose cause or explanation is in question. Amen? You say, preacher, you're bald. Is that a phenomenon? No, that's just a fact. Amen. But there are some phenomena that are out there. Another definition, it's a rare or significant fact or event. A rare or significant fact or event. It's a remarkable person, thing, or event. That's a phenomena. A remarkable person, thing, or event. It's a rare, significant fact or event. It's a fact or situation that is observed to exist or happen, especially one whose cause or explanation is in question. I Googled some of the top phenomena categories of the world. Many deal with nature. Here are just a few of the topics that are out there when you type in phenomena. What are some phenomena characters, categories? There was the top 10 phenomena on Earth. There was 10 phenomena that scientists can't explain. There were 10 Earth phenomena that amazed scientists. Sometimes there's an answer for these, sometimes there's not. There's a world's 10 most bizarre natural phenomena. There was the top 10 spooky unexplained phenomena. That's kind of, you go down in the basement, there's a light, and nobody's down there, and the light goes out, and you run upstairs, amen? There's the top 10 mysterious phenomena. There is also 10 incredible natural phenomena that really exist. There's the 25 of the coolest natural phenomena. There's the top 10 amazing ocean mysteries and phenomena. There's the natural phenomena you won't believe actually exists. These are all categories that are out there when you type in phenomena categories. There is this one called 25 strange phenomena within this decade that have yet to be explained. Let me share just a few of those with you because I found these fascinating. And there was 25 of them, but I only picked out a couple of them here. Now, again, remember, this is a fact or a situation that's observed to exist or happen, especially one whose cause or explanation is in question. A rare, significant fact or event. It's a remarkable person, thing, or event. Here is one of the top 10, the top 25 that have yet to be explained. Young man wakes up on fire. Wow. You late for church, that's what should happen to you, amen? I'm on fire. I need to be in church. All right, let me read to you what it says here. Last summer, police officers from Edmonton, Canada, investigated one of the weirdest cases in the history of the department. Is this bothering anybody like it's bothering me? A 20-year-old boy woke up in shock to find that he was engulfed in flames. Now, I don't think I'd be too casual and calm about that either. To wake up in flames, would you be casual about that? I'm on fire. You know? I'm not one of those Avengers or whatever those guys that take flame on. Amen. I'm not known. He woke up in shock to find that he was engulfed in flames. According to witnesses, the blaze started spontaneously on his body. The victim was treated for second-degree burns at a local hospital, and all the doctors who reviewed his case said they had never seen anything like it and can't explain it. Of course, we know it's called spontaneous combustion, but why do some people catch on fire and others don't? That means they're hot-tempered, maybe? I don't know. Man becomes math genius after being punched in the head. Now, don't try this at home on your kids. I want you to be smart, son. Pow! Even though medical science assures us that head injuries burn cells and technically make us dumber, this isn't the case for Jason Padgett, who became a mathematical genius overnight after an attacker punched him in the head. The 31-year-old man was a college dropout who had no background in mathematics beyond the everyday basics or did not engage in any spiritual activity or interest whatsoever. Padgett is only one of only 40 known people in history to have acquired savant syndrome. They actually have a name for it. Acquired savant syndrome, an unexplained condition in which trauma to the head results in the emergence of remarkable talent in math, art, or music. Anybody got that? Said, I got hit in the head. I got dumber. Amen. Wow. Yeah, I know how that is. Amen. All right. Here's one. Mysterious red glow spotted over the Pacific. These are all phenomena. There's 25 of them. Two Russian pilots recently reported seeing a strange but beautiful underwater light show while flying near Kamchatka. They first spotted the phenomena around 5 hours into their flight from Hong Kong to Alaska. It began with a sudden intense flash in the distance before red and orange glows could be seen permeating the ocean. The strangest thing, however, is that there were no storms in the region at the time of the sighting, and neither of the men had ever seen anything like it before. What was it? I say it was a submarine, but amen, I'm not here. This is one of the creepiest here. A three-year-old gives creepy details about the person who killed him in his past life. And by the way, I don't believe in reincarnation, neither does the Bible. Last year in Golan Heights near the border of Syria and Israel, a three-year-old boy claimed he remembered being murdered in a previous life. The boy said he was murdered with an axe, ushering elders to where his murdered body was buried. Creepiest part of this story is that what they found there was a skeleton with a murder weapon lying next to it buried. Of course, no official scientific answer has been given yet concerning this eerie phenomena. We have a feeling that research into this case will last for years, if not decades, to come. So how can a three-year-old tell somebody where his previous dead body was buried at and there was an axe to it as well? Amen. By the way, the Bible says appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. So you only live once. And all, if you believe in reincarnation, I would second guess that again. Amen. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Amen. I say, preacher, what's your answer to that? Demons have been around a long time. They know where everybody's buried at. And they can easily tell you where somebody's been buried at, amen? You go to a soothsayer or a seance or a palm reader, and she says, Uncle Frank is born over in this place, buried over in this place, and you go over there and say, oh, she was right. No, demons can tell you that, amen? So don't get alarmed about that. These are phenomena that are there. The resurrection of Jesus Christ puts him in a phenomena category all by himself, because not only did he say he would die for the sins of the world beforehand, he said he would raise again the third day, and guess what? Praise God, he did. Let me just share with you just some quick verses from the four Gospels that support what Jesus said. Matthew 12:40, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Mark's account says it this way in Mark 8:31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Luke's account says it this way in Luke 18:31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spit on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. John's gospel puts it this way in John 10:17. Therefore doth my Father love me, this is Jesus speaking, because I lay down, notice this, my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. You cannot kill God. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. John the Apostle said it this way in 1 John 2:2. And he, Jesus, is the propitiation or the satisfaction or payment for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So when it comes to the greatest phenomenon of all time, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is purely the greatest of all time. Because not only did he say he would die for our sins, he said that he would rise again, and he did. Now, you can say that you're going to rise again, but we'll still be waiting. Amen. I'm coming back. I'm going to get you. Amen. You hear people say, I'm going to get you when I come back. You ain't coming back. I know that's not good grammar, but you're not coming back. Amen. It's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment, the Bible says. Amen. Once we die, we're judged for our sins. And friend, if you don't have a risen Savior who has already died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day, then you're still in your sins, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. So the resurrection is a tremendous phenomena. There's several things that all phenomena have in common, although they are all different. Say, preacher, what are those several things? These four things, they all had to be, first of all, witnessed or seen by someone, as was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number two, they all had to be written or documented by someone, as was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number three, they all had to be read or relayed to someone, as was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then number four, they all had to be received and believed by someone, as is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, you don't have to believe the phenomenon that boy got on fire. You don't have to believe that. It won't affect your life at all. You don't have to believe that these Russian pilots saw these lights, and it won't affect you at all. You don't have to believe that this boy over in Syria and Israel said, "Here, my dead body's over there. In my past life, I was killed, and there it is," and it won't affect you at all. You don't have to believe that the man was bonged on the head and he turned into a genius. Contrary, probably turned into a dummy, amen? You don't have to believe that, and it won't affect you at all. However, if you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, my friend, it will affect you severely, gravely, and eternally. Amen and amen? It will. Most natural phenomena don't really matter to us. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ matters a whole lot to us. Say, preacher, I don't have to believe it. You're right. You don't have to. That's the beauty of the gospel. You don't have to believe it. Amen. So let's look at a few things here. That's why the resurrection is the greatest phenomenon of all time affecting all people. And we're going to apply those four categories in the resurrection. All had to be witnessed or seen by someone. All had to be written or documented by someone. Had to be read or relayed to someone. Had to be received and believed by someone, as was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Y'all with me still? Amen. How many of y'all expect me to come in a bunny suit? Hop around and give you an egg or two? Amen. I love jelly beans with the best of them, amen. My wife's got some chocolate eggs at the house, and I will eat them till times get tough, amen. She's got the malted ball type eggs. She's got the chocolate balls over here, and then she's got the Reese cups. And I'll eat them with the best of them, but I'm not going to bring any for you, amen. I'll leave them at home where I can eat them, amen. You say, are you dying Easter eggs? No, but I'll eat some, amen. I love boiled eggs, amen. I'll eat them all day long. And say, what's that got to do with the Easter? Amen. It quenches my appetite, amen. What it's got to do with it, amen. All right, let's look at a few things here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, there's some confusion among the Christians at Corinth concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul here is writing to clear up the confusion and misunderstandings because this was an early church just like many of the early churches in the New Testament. Paul, after he got saved, was sent from Antioch, and he went all throughout Europe and those areas starting new churches. This church at Corinth was no different. They had some problems in what they thought was going on. Paul here in 1 Corinthians is writing to the church at Corinth in Greece, correcting some of their misgivings about some things. By the way, if Paul was still alive right now, do you think he would be writing many churches in America? Yes, he'd be writing a whole bunch of churches in America because we get a whole lot of things wrong. Amen. I'm not saying we're the rightest church that there is. Amen. But we try to be. And I'm sure the church at Corinth was trying to be the rightest church they could be in Greece, but they were wrong. Amen. And so when you look at this church here, they had some problems. And I dare say, even in 2019, there's still confusion among people in church and out of church about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some people think it didn't exist. Some people think Jesus Christ never died. Some people think he wasn't the Son of God. Some think he wasn't God. And there on and on we can go. And by the way, the Bible will validate itself now and then that people are wrong. Amen. He said, preacher, I don't agree with that. You don't have to. You're not forced to believe anything. That's the beauty of it. Amen. Hey, by the way, I'm 56 years old. Well, preacher, we don't believe that. You look every bit of 20. I know. I know. I know I look 20. I've got the muscles to show it. Man, if I take this jacket off and start flexing, y'all will probably say, whoa, look at that body. Man, Mr. Hercules, look at him. The Rock. Okay, the pebble, amen. Hey, you don't have to believe how old I am, but guess what? I'm still 56, whether you believe it or not. You say, well, I don't believe you're 50. You look 86. Shame on you. It matters not what you believe. I am what I am, and that's not going to change, amen. Your belief of the resurrection doesn't change it. Hallelujah and praise God. Your belief about heaven doesn't change it. Your belief about hell doesn't change it. Your belief about demons don't change them. Your belief about angels don't change them. Your belief about me is not going to change me. Unless you tell me my breath stinks, then I'll just pop them in. Amen. What are we saying here? When it comes down to this, there's much confusion, and that's got nothing to do with it. Let's look at point number one. The resurrection was witnessed or seen by someone. The resurrection was witnessed or seen by someone. The top 25 phenomena were all witnessed or seen by someone in some way, shape, fashion, or form. You need evidence to prove someone did something. How many of y'all have been in court before? Normally, it's your word against the cop if you happen to got a speeding ticket. Now, if the cop doesn't show up, guess what happens to your ticket? It gets thrown out because there's no witness against you. So if you want to go to traffic court, you better pray that the policeman don't show up. Because if he doesn't show up, they've got no witness. That's your word against his word. And guess what? He's not there. So guess who wins? You do by default. Amen. Pray he gets a flat tire that day. You need evidence to prove someone did something. The most credible witness is to be seen by someone doing something. In the Dawson home, I don't know if this is true in your home, but things get broken. Things get knocked over. Things get eaten. And it seems that no one did it. Who did that? Not me, not me, not me. Well, somebody had to do it. But guess what? We don't have a witness. But we got a camera now. And I spy on my kids sometimes. I'll go upstairs and I'll turn the remote camera on. What are y'all doing down there? Nothing? Yes, you are, because I see you. You've got to be doing something. I see you red-handed. Get out of there, amen. How did Dad know I was doing that? Got a security cam. This is 2019, buddy. I got surveillance. What am I talking about here? Witnesses. In Jesus' case, according to scripture, he was seen after he had risen from the grave by witnesses, and that makes him credible. Remember, he had already raised Lazarus from the dead. We read that last week on Palm Sunday when they tried to kill him again. Amen. He had raised Jairus' daughter from the grave. He had raised the widow's son, just to name a few. So it should not surprise us that Jesus, being God himself, can raise himself. Amen. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice, first of all, he was seen by friends after the resurrection. Notice verse number 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, not only his friends, but his followers. And then notice what it says there. Then of the 12. And after that, he was seen of about how many? 500. So friends saw him. Followers saw him after the resurrection. 500 saw him after the resurrection. You mean tell me they were all hallucinating? You mean tell me they all had some bad pizza the night before? He was seen of family members. Notice verse number 7. After that, he was seen of James. That's his half-brother. Then of all the apostles. Notice this. And last of all, Paul writing said he was seen of me. Amen. Also of one born out of due time. He said, you know what? I persecute the church, but I saw him too. What does it take to have something credible? What does it take for a phenomena to exist? It must be seen. It must be witnessed. Jesus Christ was seen. He was witnessed by 500, by the 12, by the brethren, by the apostles, by James. He was seen. What does that mean? That his credibility as a risen Savior is solidified as a phenomena. Say, preacher, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe a phenomenon. I already told you that. But it will affect your eternity. Amen. By the way, if he was seen, he did rise. That means he is true and he is God, because he said, I will lay down my life and I'll take it also. Amen. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14, John the apostle said it this way, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And by the way, if he sent Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world, that means the world's in jeopardy. Hey, if I've been sent to save the Titanic, then that means the Titanic is in jeopardy. Hey, if I've been sent to save the Twin Towers, that means the Twin Towers are in jeopardy and everybody's in it. If he is truly indeed the Savior of the world, that means then the world is lost. Amen. Amen. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The contrary can be said. If I don't believe, I won't have life. Amen. Hey, let's get practical. If you breathe, you will have in your body oxygen. Amen. So the contrary is true as well. If you don't breathe, what won't you have in your body? And what do you need to stay alive? So if I got oxygen, I'll live. If I don't have oxygen, I'll die. If I have Jesus, I'll live. If I don't have Jesus, I'll die. It's just that simple. Why? Because he came for the world. And he came to save the world. What am I talking about here? The first point is to have credibility as a phenomenon. The resurrection needed to be witnessed or seen by someone. And we see down here repeatedly that he was seen. Number two, the resurrection not only was witnessed or seen by someone, the resurrection to have credibility had to be written and documented by someone. The top 25 were written and documented by someone. And by the way, not only did I get these, but you can get these. What does that say? 25 strange phenomena within this decade that have yet to be explained. Preacher, I don't have a computer. Go to the library. Amen. And guess what? They are there. Why? They were written. They were documented. Not only were they seen, somebody said, let me write down what I saw. Let me write down. Did you see that thing down there? Right there. Let me write that thing down. Man. I've seen some bizarre things in my time. I should have wrote it down. I should have took a picture of it. Most of the bizarre stuff that I said was when I was a kid, though. There was no cameras back in those days, amen. By the time you go get somebody, it's gone. Hey, I saw this. Come on, check it out. It's gone, amen. Hey, the resurrection was written and documented by someone. Notice what it says down there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 3. He says, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to what? The scriptures, they were written, it was documented all the way back in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ and his crucifixion, in many of the Old Testament prophetical books there, about a Savior that was coming, about a Savior that was going to die, about a Savior that was going to secure Israel, about a Savior. Jesus came and fulfilled every single prophecy. And guess what? People still didn't believe him. But guess what? You don't have to believe it. This is your destiny we're talking about, not Jesus's destiny. That's not going to change Jesus Christ one bit at all. But my friend, it will change yours. It will change yours. According to the scriptures, notice what it says down in verse number 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the what? To the scriptures. The most notable is Isaiah 53:5. Now there's multiple scriptures we could go through in the Psalms and in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Hosea and Daniel and Habakkuk and Malachi. There's so many that we could go to in the Old Testament, but for sake of time, we're only going to look at this one, Isaiah 53 and verse number 5. It says this, most notable, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. What's that talking about? He's going to take our punishment. He's going down the cross for our sins. Verse number 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of who? Us all. What am I saying? The resurrection was written and documented by someone. It was according to the scriptures, and you can find multiple. If you got a study Bible, just go down through 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, and cross-reference the many scriptures that are talked about in that area. And they will all talk about Jesus Christ being crucified, going to the cross to bear your sins. Say, preacher, I don't believe that. You don't have to. That's the beauty of this. You don't have to believe it, and it's still true. You don't believe that you don't have to believe that you need oxygen, but guess what? You do. And if you don't breathe, you'll surely die. Amen. Say, preacher, why are you making it so practical? Because the gospel is practical. The resurrection was written and documented. It fits category number two. The resurrection was witnessed and seen. It fits category number one. But then there's a third category. The resurrection was read and relayed to someone. Notice what he says down there in verse number one of chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you. Paul says, I'm giving this to you. I'm going to relay this to you. I have it and I'm giving it to you. Moreover, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. What is that? Paul, he said, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you what? First of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. What is Paul saying here? He's saying the resurrection was read and relayed to you. I'm declaring this unto you. It happened. Jesus told me, I'm telling you. What am I saying here? Every one of the top 25 phenomena was read and relayed. Guess what? I read it, and what did I do? I related it to you. And you can go back and Google it too. I don't have a computer. You guys got to take my word for it then. Amen. Well, preacher, if I bong myself on the head, will I get smart? You'll get smarter, you'll get dumb, one of the two. Or you might just stay the same. Amen. But I can tell you this, somebody got bonged on the head, and they got smart. You see parents going home now, come here, come here. What's 2 plus 2? 3? Oh, it didn't work, man. Don't try that at home on your children. And kids are saying, can we try it on our parents? No, that's not going to work either. That's not going to work either. Amen. Get the security camera out, parents. Amen. Watch them. Amen. Hey, he says he was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scripture. He says, I declare unto you the gospel. Hold your finger there. Go to the Gospel of John real quick. And I'm trying not to turn to too many scriptures because I want you to try to turn and not get there. John 20. John 20, and we're going to read verse number 30. What am I saying? The resurrection was read and relayed to someone. He said, I'm declaring this unto you. Amen. Resurrection was declared. And by the way, talking about the miracles that Jesus did, the phenomena that he did, verse number 30 of chapter 20. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might what? Believe that Jesus is who? The Christ, the anointed one. The who? The Son of God, the only begotten of God. And that believing ye might have what? Life through his name. Why? He's the propitiation. He's the sacrifice for your sins and my sins. Say, I don't believe it. You don't have to, but if you do, you'll get saved. What am I saved from? My sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. By the way, because one man sinned, one man had to die for sin. Jesus Christ was 100% God, 100% man. And that's why he could die, take his own life, and take it again because he was God. You name me someone else can do that, amen? No one. You name me someone else that can raise the dead like Lazarus was raised or Jairus' daughter? No one. But guess what? It was witnessed. It was seen. Hey, it was written. It was documented. It's been believed and received. The resurrection was read and relayed. Come over to chapter 21 and notice verse 24. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things. Notice testify means to relay something. And we know that his testimony is true. Verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they should be written, everyone, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. What is he saying? It was written and documented. It was read and relayed. Someone shared it and passed it on and on and on. 1 John 4:14 says it this way again. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Three conditions are already met. the gospel, the resurrection, has been witnessed and seen. The resurrection was written and documented by someone. The resurrection was read and relayed to someone. The last category is the resurrection was received and believed by someone. Every one of the top 25 phenomena that we talked about had to be both received and then believed. If you don't believe any of the top 25, it won't change your destiny at all. But my friend, if you don't believe that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is going to change you for eternity, it'll change you for eternity. Go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And we're winding down here. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Notice verse number 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also, what's the word? Received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the what? Scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Paul said, I'm delivering to you, first of all, that which I received. What are you saying? The resurrection was received and believed. Notice verse number 1. More, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye, what's the word? Received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are what? Saved. Preacher, what am I saved from? My sin. My sin. Somebody had to pay the penalty for my sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of those same sins is death. He says, unless you believed in vain. Notice down there. By which also ye are saved, in which if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. He said, now wait a minute, you got to receive it, but then you got to believe it. But if you believe in vain, emptily, if you believe not believing, what am I saying? I will be there for you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. I believe you. No, I don't. Why? Your track record is already shot. Amen, Brother Duffy? I tell Brother Duffy, Brother Duffy, I'm going to be at 11 o'clock. 11:01, I'm not there. Brother Duffy, I'm late. Yeah, I'm a genius. I figured that out. Amen. Brother Duffy, it's 11:15. I'm not there. I'm on my way. Yeah, when you said you're going to be there at 11 o'clock, I kind of figured it'd be ish, 11-ish. So now I just start saying, brother, I'll be there around 11-ish. Don't hold me down in no time. I'll be there between 11-ish. Why? My kids always make me late. No, I'm not going to blame it on my kids. Amen. It's that slow car of mine. Amen. And I want to go the speed limit because I don't want to go to, you know, court. Amen. All right, here we go. What are we saying here? He says, verse number 11. Notice down there, verse number 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye what? Believe. What am I saying? The resurrection was received and believed by someone. The top 25 phenomena had to be received and believed. You have to believe that this boy got bonged on the head and turned into a genius. Amen. If you don't believe it, go check him out and interview him. Ask him what 2 + 2 is. Amen. Hey, you don't believe some of those things, then you need to go investigate it. Why? By the very sheer definition of phenomena, it is a fact or situation that is observed to exist or happen, especially one whose cause or explanation is in question. If you got a question, guess what you should do? Go search it out. Go search it out. Hey, if you don't believe I'm 56, you can go and get my birth certificate. And you'll see that I was born in Joliet, Illinois, February 28th at St. Joseph's Hospital. They go by St. Joseph. Amen. At least it was a spiritual hospital, St. Joseph's. Amen. St. Joseph's Hospital. Don't know what time, but I was born. Not a leap year. And guess what? You calculate the days. I was born in 1963. Without a leap year. And guess what you're going to come up with? That I am 56 years young. But preacher, you look like 26 or 36 or 46. And I don't feel like it either. I feel like 86. Amen. So the resurrection was received and believed by someone, as were the top 25. No one is forced to believe. Paul did not say in verse number 11, therefore, whether I or they, so we preach and so you believe. He didn't say we forced you. He said we preached and you believe. You heard the resurrection. You heard that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You heard that he was buried. You heard he rose again the third day. You understood that you were a sinner. You understood that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You understood the wages of sin were death. You understood that Christ died for your sins, and you placed your faith and your trust in that which you received. You believed it, and you are saved.
Amen.
Amen. What am I saying? Phenomena. phenomena. The resurrection is the greatest phenomena of all time. The Gospel of John puts it this way in John 1:11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Who are that? The Jews. Verse 12. But as many as received him, notice that, Jew or non-Jew, to them gave he, Jesus, power to become the sons of God, even to them that what? Believe on his name. So to solidify the case of the resurrection, you have to receive it and believe it. Not believing it will change you for eternity. Receiving it will also change you for eternity. I'm forevermore a child of God. A preacher, did you go to one of those classes, catechism or something like that? I didn't go to anything. I just went, got saved. Hey, is that what it says down there in verse number 2? By which also ye are what? Saved. What am I saved from? Hell, danger, sin. What am I saying here? Paul trying to clear up some confusion with this church. We're only looking at a few verses here. The resurrection was received and believed by someone. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says it this way, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word of God, notice that, when ye receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. See, if you believe it, it'll work. If you don't believe, it's not going to do you any good. Because there will be no one in heaven that's forced to be there. By the way, if I say, hey, there's free tickets to the Diamondbacks game, come and get them. Everybody gets them. Guess what? They get free entry. Who paid the price? I did. So I'm going, I don't want to go watch them. Hey, they played the Cubs the other day in Chicago. But if I say I've got free tickets, all that come and receive the free tickets get to see the Diamondbacks play. Hey, if I say they're playing against your favorite sports team, and I got free tickets, and you come, guess what? You get a free ticket. Didn't cost you a thing. Cost me something. But guess what? If you don't come get it, guess what? You go to the door. My preacher said if I get a ticket, I can come in. What do you got? I got a bus ticket. Will that work? No. Well, I got a train ticket. Will that work? No. I got a speeding ticket. Will that work? That definitely ain't going to work. What ticket will work? The ticket that I gave you to get in. Folks, Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection is our ticket to get in heaven. And we will be there because we want to be there. Not because we're getting in on proxy. We've got to receive it and believe it. Every one of these 25 had to be received and believed. Hence, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest phenomenon of all time because of its effect on everyone. The resurrection was witnessed, it was written, it was read and relayed, it was received and believed. It's the greatest phenomena of all times, and it still saves. Many, many years later, we're in 2019, Jesus Christ still saves. His resurrection is still credible. It's still a phenomenon. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ, justified in the spirit. He gave up the ghost, seen of angels. He could have called 10,000 angels to save him. Preached unto the Gentiles, that's every non-Jew. Believed on in the world. Why? For God so loved the world. Received up in the glory. But guess what? He's coming back again. He's coming back again. The resurrection of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a reality. He is coming back. You say, preacher, that's because you believe it. No, oxygen is also a reality. And you need it just as much as I do. Jesus Christ is a reality, friend, and you need him just as much as I do. See, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe it. It's true. You can say, I don't believe I need oxygen, but guess what? You need it. You need it. You need it. My question is, are you ready for his return? You can be. Revelations 1:7 says, he's coming. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also, notice this, which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Acts 1:11 says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, not another one, this same Jesus which is taking up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. The same Jesus, not someone else. I like the way 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52 puts it. You're in 1 Corinthians still, go down to verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, you and I can't get to heaven the way we are. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all sleep. That's a euphemism, which means to die. We shall all sleep, but we shall all be changed. When? Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's fast. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What is Paul saying? Everybody that died believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be changed. Both the dead and the living are going to be changed. Why? This body that you and I have is flesh, and it is corrupted by sin. Why do you think it gets old? Why do you think it gets sick? Why do you think it hurts when you get out of bed in the morning? Why? Young kids, it's coming, amen. Yeah, it doesn't hurt when I get out of bed. I can bounce out of bed. Ta-da! Yeah, you wait till you get my age and bounce out of bed like that, amen. Something's going to give way. You're going to break something, amen, or you're going to hurt something. Hey, this body gives up. It gets sick. It gets old. Gets decrepit. You grow hair on it because everybody's supposed to be like me. So when we all get to heaven, everybody's going to be bald. So get used to it now. Pull your hair back. Look in the mirror. See how you look. You know, if you got a rock head, it doesn't look good. You got a lopsided head, it doesn't look good. Say, preacher, did you ever look in the mirror lately? Hey, watch it. Hey. He said, we're going to be changed. We'll have a glorified body. We're going to be like Jesus Christ. He could walk through walls. He could appear and reappear. He could disappear and be in one place. Amen. Hey, we're going to have a different body. Are you ready for his return? You should be. You can be. Why do we need a resurrection? Because Jesus Christ paid the sacrifice for our sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why did Jesus have to raise? Because he had to, first of all, die. He came the perfect sacrifice to die for sinful man. Adam lost it all in the garden. Jesus Christ came to get it all back. The Bible says, one man, by one man's sin, entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You and I sin by nature. We sin by choice. Why? We're sinners by nature, and we're sinners by choice. We can't help it. Dogs bark because they're dogs. Cows moo because they're cows. Cats meow because they're cats. Sinners sin because we're sinners. And we can't change that. But Jesus Christ came to get it all back. He died on the cross for our sin. When he was nailed to the cross, he said, "It is finished." In other words, he was saying the way to heaven is done. Tetelestai. It's over. It's a done deal. It's completed. The package is wrapped up. I'm going to die for the sins of the world. No longer do you have to die for your own sins. It's a done deal. It's finished. No longer do you have to have yearly sacrifices and animal sacrifices and blood sacrifices. The Lamb of God, behold, the Lamb of God was taking away the sin of the world. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, in closing, I read a devotion this morning. I want to share with you quickly, dealing with the subject, a certain appointment. And it's talking about the appointment the man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. And it says this, most people don't want to think about the reality of death. By the way, I don't want to think about it any more than you do. But guess what? I got life insurance just in case. I don't want to think about getting in an accident any more than you do. But guess what? I got car insurance. You know, I don't want to think about not being employable, but I have workman's comp, just like you do. Why? Accidents happen. Accidents happen. Most people don't want to think about the reality of death, but the certain reality is that unless the Lord returns during our lifetime, all of us will one day keep that appointment. The question is not whether we will die, but whether we will be prepared when that moment comes. The only preparation for death is to put our faith in the payment Christ made for our sins. No one else said they die for your sins. No one. No one. No one. But Jesus. The only preparation for death is to put our faith in the payment Christ made for our sins on the cross by his substitutionary death, his life for ours. To place our faith in Jesus as our risen Savior. For those of us who know the Lord as our personal Savior, we also want to live in such a way that we will not be ashamed to see Christ when he returns or calls us home. Why? He could come today. And so use the time that you have today wisely. None of us know how long we have to live for God. Folks, I invite you today to receive Jesus as your Savior. Say, preacher, I don't know about that phenomenon. I've not received that yet, and I don't know about that. If the Holy Spirit doesn't convince you, you can't do it. I can't convince you. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's why Jesus Christ never said, believe on me or I'll sock you. Believe on me, you must. No. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He said, but that's up to you. Jesus doesn't want any forced people in heaven. By the way, I can't force you to get saved. I can just relay the facts of what the Bible teaches. Paul is going through here and saying, hey, look, let me clear up some problems that you have about the resurrection. It was witnessed and seen by someone. It's credible. Hey, it was written and documented. It's credible. It was read and relayed. It's credible. It was received and believed. It's credible. Now it's up to you. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? And folks, that's what it's all about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, put your name in there, believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But you're saved by believing the phenomenon, the greatest phenomenon of all time. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for you, was buried and rose again the third day. Folks, that's what Easter, resurrection, is all about. Receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I invite you, if you've not received him as your Savior, why don't you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can receive the greatest phenomena of all time. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation. You will not regret your decision for Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Father, thank you for this Resurrection Sunday. Thank you that we can look at the scriptures and see what has been the phenomena, the greatest phenomena of all time. That's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many great phenomena around the world right now exist, but this one affects us. It hits us where we live. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this auditorium, Lord, help us to make a correct decision on what we need to do with Jesus Christ. Bless now in the next moments that we have in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and no one looking around. Just for a moment, I want to ask a question. If you died right now, are you sure that heaven is your home? If you're not sure that heaven is your home, I do want to pray for you today. I will not call you out. I will not make a commotion, but I will acknowledge that your hand has been raised and you put it right back down because I want to pray for you. But again, I can't force you to believe anything. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is for you. Have you received Jesus Christ today? Or do you have some questions and doubts about that and you want me to pray for you? Raising your hand signifies that you want me to pray for you because you've got some doubts about Jesus Christ and receiving him for eternal life. Right where you're at, raise your hand if you want me to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure about eternal life, not sure about this resurrection thing. I'm not sure about receiving Christ, but I'm concerned about it and I'm curious. Would you pray for me? Man, woman, boy, or girl, all right where you're at, just raise your hand. I'll acknowledge it and you can put it right back down. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Amen. I see one hand. They put it down. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned. Amen. I see another one. You may put that one down. Anyone else? I'm not sure. Folks, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'll just acknowledge that you had your hand up until you put it right back down. Man, woman, boy, or girl, right where you're at. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Two hands have been raised. Are there more? Amen. I see that one. You may put it down. Is there another? You know, I don't want to belabor it, but I do want to give you an opportunity that I can pray for you. I'm not sure about this resurrection. Folks, it will affect you for eternity. What you do with Jesus Christ, it will affect you. Say, preacher, I got time. No one knows when their time will be up. Pray for me. Anyone else join these three? Father, thank you for these three that were honest. And they're not sure. If they die, they go to heaven. They're concerned about it. Lord, and I pray you press upon their heart the great need to not just receive the gospel message of the resurrection, but also believe it, that they may be saved. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Lord, press upon their hearts the great need to make a decision today, receiving Christ. And for Christians that are here, Lord, help us to make sure that each day, each moment counts for Jesus, and that we do what we need to do, because we could meet you in the next moment, the next hour, the next day. Bless now in this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. We're looking around. During the invitation time, two things will happen. One, Christians will be praying. But then number two, if you want to know more about how you can believe the gospel and be saved, we have people standing by that can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a man, we get a man to show you how to know that you can be a Christian. If you're a woman, we get a woman to show you. But it's your decision. It's your decision. As music plays, if God's spoken in your heart, you move. Maybe you need to come and pray for someone that you know. Maybe just thank God for the resurrection. Maybe you say, I want to know how I can be saved. Why don't you come, let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. No one can force you. It's got to be your decision. I prayed for you. I've done my part. But if you want to really know what the Bible teaches and how you can be sure that heaven is your home, we'll take a Bible to show you how to be saved. Perhaps you just want to come and thank God for the resurrection. Thank Jesus Christ for what he's done, what he's given. Why don't you just come down to an old-fashioned altar and just thank God for dying for your sins, being buried for your sins, and raising the third day for your sins. Maybe that's what you need to do today. But I can tell you this, friend, you won't regret the decision to receive the gospel. It will change you for eternity. It's a great phenomenon, but you've got to receive it. You've got to believe it. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I can't be good enough for it. I can't go to church enough for it. I can't give enough for it. I can't be baptized for it. I can't do anything for it. I just have to receive it. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I don't know about you today, but the resurrection has been received by me and believed by me. You too can have the security of heaven. You too can know that heaven is your home. Oh, friend, don't leave without getting it settled. I'll be at the back door shaking hands. If you want to know, you let me know. Say, preacher, I'd like to know more about that. Would you have someone talk to me? I'll be more than happy to get someone in a quiet room, get to talk with you about this particular subject. The greatest phenomena of all time, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for the tremendous, tremendous sacrifice. The death of Jesus Christ, the burial of Jesus Christ, but the phenomenal resurrection of Jesus Christ. For the sins of men, women, boys, and girls. And thank you. That is the mighty name why we need to be saved by. Jesus Christ, 100% God, 100% man. The Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Oh, thank you. You were bruised for our iniquities. You died for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your stripes we can be healed. And so, Lord, I do pray for each man, woman, boy, or girl that either raised their hand or is pondering in their own heart what this all means. Well, they might investigate the gospel a little deeper. They might understand the resurrection a little clearer. They might understand and receive eternal life before it's everlasting too late. Well, there's only two destinations we can go to, and that's to be with you in heaven or to be eternally punished, separated from you. So, Lord, I do pray that decisions be made. This eternally affects where we spend eternity. The greatest phenomenon of all time. Many of the others don't affect us, but this one does. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for meeting with us. Lord, dismiss us with thy blessings. And, Lord, may we leave here differently than when we came in. A little bit more knowledgeable in the things of God. A little bit more in-tuned to what you would have for us. Thank you. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we are dismissed, Brother Hall is going to come and just give us a quick announcement about what we need to do before we leave. Amen. And we won't be back at 5 o'clock tonight, so make sure you do not set your clocks to come back tonight. I won't be here. Amen.
Tonight, so you guys get to enjoy each other and that good food that everybody pitched in to cook. Right, Brother Duffy. And again, we like to, in regards to our visitors, we understand and we appreciate that you guys' time is valuable. So thank you so much for spending your time here at Shining Light Baptist Church. We really appreciate you guys' presence. And I believe that is it. I want to put a quick plug in for Patch the Pirate Club. We meet every Wednesday for kids from 4 to 12. We meet over there and we do have a bunch of games, and kids enjoy the games and the songs and the teaching that I do, and we just have a good time. So if you guys have any questions about that, you can get a hold of me and we will make that happen. Okay, I believe that's it. Don't come back tonight. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for coming to this earth, allowing us to be able to call on you as a resurrected Lord and Savior. Thank you for our visitors here today. Thank you for the word that was preached. And thank you for the challenge, my Father. And I pray that we're more than hearers only, Lord, but we're doers of your word as well. I pray for those that are traveling. And I thank you again, Lord, for just allowing us to be a part of your family. Thank you for Shining Light Baptist Church. And please bless the rest of our day. Please help us try our best to be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.